Welcome back, boys and girls, to another installment of the Fantasy Firestorm podcast here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenball, and that intro music you were just listening to was from the legendary band The who will be playing the Super Bowl halftime show this year at Landshark Stadium in Miami, Florida. Yours truly will be down in South Beach this year for a week of hard work, sun, fun, babes, and possibly a couple adult beverages, if time permits, of course. Well, 13 weeks are in the books, and not much has changed over the last week. The Saints and Colts are still undefeated, and of course, it wouldn't be December if the Philadelphia Eagles and New York Giants didn't have a big-time NFC East showdown on the schedule. Those two teams will meet this Sunday night at the Meadowlands with playoff and division title implications on the line. I don't even need to look at the schedule to know when the Eagles and the Giants play in December. As many of you know, I'm an all-time Eagles fan, having been raised in Eastern Pennsylvania, which is where I now reside. As a side note, weather has been awful as of late, unless you like snow and extremely cold temperatures. I do not. But part of living here and growing up here means you're only about 90 miles from New York, and that means you have to grow up with just as many Giants fans as you do Eagles fans. And needless to say, after Big Blue took down the Cowboys last Sunday, all the Giants fans are now back on the train and have been blowing up my cell phone all week long. In response to all these text messages, I just have one thing to say. Get lost. Philly rocked the Giants 40-17 back in week 8 and have won the last three meetings, including the divisional playoff game last year against New York, so I don't want to hear it unless you win on Sunday night. Personal vendettas aside, let's talk to a guy who could very well be playing in the big game this February. And I'm talking about none other than one of the best come-from-behind quarterbacks in the NFL, Drew Brees. Drew, congratulations. You're 12-0 and have won the NFC South. How's life in New Orleans right now?
Everything's good, man, but you're only as good as your next victory. So, you know, that was short-lived and short-celebrated. You know, the NFC South championship after the Redskins game, we enjoyed it for about 24 hours, and on to the next one, which is Atlanta. Another tough road test.
Well, you're coming off a 33-30 dramatic overtime victory against the Washington Redskins. Take us through what's going through your mind when you're in the fourth quarter down 7 with just under 2 minutes to play and Washington is lining up for a 23-yard field goal that kicker Sean Swisham ended up missing. Swisham makes that field goal. The game is essentially over. What's going through your mind at that point?
Well, I'm just hoping he misses it. but obviously not expecting him to. Expecting him probably to make it and then, you know, figuring out how we can score a touchdown, get an onside kick, and then go down and try to tie the game or win the game at the end. But, you know, he ended up missing it, and we got the ball back, having to drive 80 yards in a minute 52, no timeouts, to tie the game. And it only took us about 40 seconds, but we ended up tying it up and then sending it to OT.
You guys got off to a slow start in this one as the Redskins jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the first quarter. Does that have anything to do with the fact that you were playing a road game on short rest, having just played on Monday night? And how much tougher is it to get ready for a game with one less day of rest?
Well, I think that's always – I think it's always tougher, especially, you know, you come off a big, you know, emotional Monday night, you know, victory like we did against New England at home, and then you got to turn right back around and prepare for a very tough NFC East opponent on the road, on one shorter day or one less day than usual. So all those factors kind of going into it, we knew it was going to be one of the tougher tests of the season, and sure enough it was.
Yeah, they're actually going into that game. They were the first-ranked passing defense in the league. You shredded them for 400 yards, so clearly they're not there anymore. But did you or the coaching staff have any concerns about a possible letdown heading into this week? Like you said, coming off the emotional win against New England on Monday night, everyone, you know, it's on the national stage. Everyone starts talking about the Saints for the Super Bowl, the people that hadn't been talking about them before. Were there any of those concerns?
No, not concerns about a letdown, but definitely concerns about just a tough game because you are playing on one, you know, less day worth of, you know, rest and time for preparation. You're having to go on the road into a hostile environment, you know, going up north in December, which there's challenges there. And then, you know, number three, the fact that, hey, we're still undefeated and everybody wants to beat us. Just like if the roles were reversed, you know how much we would get up for a team coming in who's undefeated, and, you know, it's our opportunity to knock them off. So the fact is, you know, when you have all three of those things kind of coming together, it's like the perfect storm. You know that you're going to, you know, have to fight tooth and nail till the end to get a victory, and that ended up being what happened.
Of course, and at this point in the season, everyone's got you guys circled on the calendar because, like you said, you're undefeated, and everyone wants to hand you guys that first loss. Take us through what many consider to be one of the most impressive plays of the season. Second quarter, you're intercepted by Redskins defensive back Kareem Moore, only to watch wide receiver Robert Meacham rip the ball out of Moore's hands and run 44 yards for a Saints touchdown. Tell me what's going through your mind at that point.
Well, there was 30 seconds left, and you know, it was 3rd and 26. We're around our own 50-yard line. My thought process is, if nothing else, I'm going to maybe throw one up for grabs down there around the 20 or 10-yard line and see if one of my guys can't come down with it and put us in field goal range. Otherwise, if it gets intercepted, no big deal, because it's the end of the half and, you know, they won't be able to do anything with it. Well, unfortunately, the guy that intercepted it ended up taking off and running with it. And so now the thought is, oh, we got to get this guy down before he, you know, puts them in a position where they can then come back and get a field goal before half. And then Robert Meacham somehow, some way, kind of, you know, finagles his way through a couple blockers and grabs the guy and strips the ball. You know, just the presence of mind to not only, you know, wrap the guy up and tackle him, but then to strip the ball, get it out of his possession, and then snatch it and run it back 40 yards for a touchdown. I mean, just a heads-up play, just Robert Meacham being a ball player. I mean, that's all that was. Great individual effort.
Yeah, and it seems like every week we're talking about Meacham because it's big play after big play. More on him later. Lots of defensive players like to look for the quarterback after he throws an interception because they consider this an opportunity to get a free shot in. What do you do after you throw an interception? Are you going after the guy who caught it? Are you trying to make the tackle? Or are you just trying to avoid getting decked?
Well, I think early on in the play, you kind of try to size up, you know, everybody around you and the direction in which the interception return is going. You know, in the end, it's your job to get the guy down. However you got to do it, run him out of bounds, tackle him, you know, take his legs out, whatever you got to do to get him on the ground. And so, especially the fact that you threw it, you know, you throw the interception, it's your fault. So go find a way to tackle the guy. But there's definitely guys looking to take your head off, so you got to be aware of that.
Can you think of one time in particular where you took a shot after throwing an interception?
Actually, it was one that got called back. It wasn't even an interception. It was one of those that hit the ground, and the guy kind of acted like he picked it off and started running. It was last year. I can't remember who we were playing. And so I'm standing there knowing the guy did not intercept it, but the official kind of called it down yet. So he's running around, and all of a sudden, you know, a defensive end or D lineman comes and tries to take me out. But it's part of the game. You know, you just got to keep your head on the swivel.
The Vikings lost on Sunday night in Arizona, which now drops them two games behind you guys in the race for a home field advantage in the NFC. However, you're currently sitting at 12-0 and have a very realistic shot at an undefeated season. Now, some people believe that if you have a chance to go for 16-0, you got to go for it, while others believe that it'd be foolish to play your starters in a game that has no meaning when it comes to playoff seeding. Where do you stand on this issue? And if you're in a spot where you guys are sitting at 15-0 and have clinched home field, do you want to start week 17 and go for the 16th win?
Well, I'm not going to worry about it now because it's one at a time, and that's, you know, 3 weeks away before we have to hopefully be in a position where we are 15-0 and we're making that decision. But I think anytime you have a chance at history like that, then, you know, that provides a little motivation to play everybody. But you know what? We'll worry about it when we get there.
All right. It's time for this week's segment of Inside the Huddle, where Drew breaks down drops some knowledge, on all of us and breaks down the anatomy of a big play. You can check out the play Drew and I are about to discuss by clicking on the link in the article underneath this podcast. Today's play comes from the fourth quarter of Sunday's game. The Saints are trailing the Redskins 30-23 with only 1 minute, 23 seconds left to go in the game. It's first and 10 from the New Orleans 47-yard line, and you guys are in the no huddle when you connect with wide receiver Robert Meacham on a 53-yard touchdown pass to tie the game. Drew, tell the listeners what you saw when you came up to the line of scrimmage and what it was that made this play work.
Well, we had just completed a big pass play to get us to the 47-yard line, and the Redskins were playing a lot of just kind of too high safety, soft zone, giving us a lot of the underneath throws. But after that big completion, you just felt like they were going to become a little bit more aggressive now. They kind of stayed with the too high safety look, but the safety to Meacham's side was LaRon Landry, who is a very aggressive safety, very physical safety, and a guy who you kind of figured would be waiting to kind of jump maybe one of these in routes that we've been throwing, throughout the course of the game. So, we dialed up a play to Meacham where he acts like he's running a deep in route, and then he ends up, running a pump. He kind of stutters and then runs by the safety after he bites on that fake, and so sure enough, Robert Meacham kind of makes that in cut. LaRon Landry settles his feet to drive on it, and then Meacham runs right by him, and we complete the pass over his head for a big touchdown to tie the game.
And when you look at this play on tape, it's the pump fake that really sells it. The second you gave that fake, Landry bit and came up, and at that point, Meacham was home free. All he had to do was catch the football. You guys have the Falcons this Sunday at 1:00 in Atlanta. What is going to be the key in practice this week to make sure you guys come out of Week 14 at 13-0?
Well, it's always a challenge going on the road, especially in the division. And I know Atlanta had a tough loss last week against Philadelphia at home, so they're going to be looking to respond. For us, it's just about putting together a solid game plan. We've played these guys once before on Monday night at our place, and it was a tight game. So we expect nothing less than that, 60 minutes, potentially more. We're coming off an overtime win where obviously it took a little bit more than 60 minutes. But just to execute in all phases, offense, defense, special teams, and try to get the job done.
All right, Drew, last question and most serious question of the day, probably that you'll face all week. You were interviewed by fellow National Football Post writer Michael Lombardi after your win on Sunday. In your opinion, who gives the better interview, myself or Lombardi?
Well, I'm not playing favorites or anything, but I got to go with you, Joe, because we're a weekly item. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Michael just comes around when times are good. So obviously I gotta have some bit of loyalty here. You're always there. So
I appreciate that, and I'd like to say I'm here through good times and bad, but at 12-0, we haven't really dealt with any bad times yet, and hopefully we won't have to.
I'm with you, brother.
All right, Drew. Well, as always, great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on, and best of luck this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, man. Thanks.
You got it. That was Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, who you can check out on Twitter by searching for the name Drew Brees, which is all one word. Well, that about wraps up this edition of the Fantasy Firestorm here at the National Football Post. It's fantasy playoff time, and for those of you who have made the money round, now more than ever is the time to buckle down and get focused. If you have any questions, you know where to find me. For Drew Brees, I'm Joe Fortenball. Best of luck this weekend, and we'll see you next time.